Grace, mercy, and peace to you through God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. May God in his mercy save us from a church where there are none but saints. I want to be in that company and in that church where there are faint-hearted and weak people, the sick, and those who are aware of their sin, misery, and wretchedness, and cry to God unceasingly, and sigh to him for comfort and help, and believe in the forgiveness of sins. A word from Brother Martin. Our text: all the tax collectors and sinners were drawing near to hear Jesus, and the Pharisees and the scribes were grumbling, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." The Pharisees couldn't stop what was taking place, and apparently they didn't have the courage to come to Jesus directly, so they grumbled. I should note that the word in Greek is onomapoetic. It's gongudzo. He could hear this. They were grumbling. They also posted a couple of tweets and blogs, but Jesus doesn't check that stuff. He did hear the murmuring and grumbling, and he responds to them. His parable is for them, and I should note, in Luke 15 we have not three parables, but one parable in three parts. We've heard the first two parts of it. It was a come to Jesus moment for the Pharisees. He's inviting them to come to him, to rejoice with him, to go with him. And Luke, the evangelist, includes it in his witness. Now, Luke is not condemning the Pharisees any more than Jesus was. He's inviting his first readers, and he's inviting us, you and me, to come to Jesus, to rejoice with Jesus, and to go with Jesus. So, why all the grumbling? Well, it was Jesus, of course, Jesus who welcomed people whose lives had gone off the rails. Many of them came from the wrong zip codes. But even if they didn't, they had been labeled by others, and they knew it. They were the sinners. Luke provides us two little video clips that actually match our text precisely, pictures of these people. There's the woman who shows up at the meal at the home of Simon the Pharisee, the woman who's known in the city as the sinner. Prostitute, or women perhaps like the woman we meet in John 4, the woman of Samaria, who has had five husbands, is now on her sixth man. And then also in Jericho, where Jesus, to the surprise of everyone, including Zacchaeus himself, comes to have a meal with Zacchaeus, the tax collector, the cheat, the swindler. These were the people whom Jesus welcomed: the faint-hearted, the weak, the sick, those who are aware of their sin and misery and wretchedness. And what was it that drew them to Jesus? Well, among other things, they knew that Jesus had a label too. This was not the first time that the scribes and Pharisees had grumbled about Jesus. In fact, they'd given him a name: Jesus, the glutton and drunkard, the friend of tax collectors and sinners. This opprobrium served as some of Jesus' best advertising: Jesus, the friend of tax collectors and sinners, the teacher with the opened arms who welcomed them, embraced them, and they came to him. A question for you and me: whom do we look more like to our contemporaries, Jesus or the Pharisees? If you have a chance, and you can find it, Read Timothy Egan's recent op-ed in the New York Times on the contemporary scene of Christianity in America. The title gives away everything: Why People Hate Religion. So worth a read. The tax collectors and sinners may have hated religion, but they loved Jesus and they came to him. And you and I want to be just a little bit more like Jesus and a little less like the Pharisees. So when these people with problems came to Jesus, what did they find? Well, they found Jesus' open arms, and in Jesus' open arms, they found costly grace. A grace that cost them their whole life, but gave them a whole life. The joy of the shepherd, the joy of a woman, the joy of heaven and of the angels is joy in the sinner who repents. And we see pictures of this costly grace precisely in the text that we have pointed to already. Costly grace is present in that jar of alabaster that the woman at Simon the Pharisee's home poured on Jesus' feet. Costly grace is present in Zacchaeus' gift of half his goods to the poor and his promise to make restitution for his fraud. He who is forgiven much loves much. Janice and I have a friend, Bernice, a very fine Christian, who for a time at least was involved with prison Bible studies. And she tells the story that after a while, she began to realize that the faith and the spiritual life of the women prisoners with whom she was studying the Bible was deeper and richer than her own. He who is forgiven much loves much. Now, when people came to Jesus, they found something else, too. They found that it was not they who had been seeking Jesus, but Jesus had been seeking them all along. He'd been searching for them, like a shepherd looking for lost sheep, up and down the hilly terrain, in all the crevices and the dry creek beds behind the bushes, looking for them. And when he found them, he lays them on his shoulders and he carries them home. He had been looking for them like the woman looking for the lost drachma. And it is a drachma, by the way, not your usual coin, the family treasure. She lights a lamp, she dusts, sweeps the dusty floor, she looks everywhere, she looks under the bed, not once, but twice, like Joe Okamoto looking for his lost red sneakers. She looked for them. Even as they fled him down the nights and down the days, the hound of heaven had tracked them down. He still tracks them down, just as he tracked down Francis Thompson, and he tracks down and has tracked down you and me. And notice that he tracks them down one by one. Luke introduces the parable with this word, that all the tax collectors and sinners were coming to Jesus. Hyperbole, of course, but all of them. And yet, in the parable, Jesus says absolutely nothing of the crowds. He says absolutely nothing of the numbers. Jesus is not seeking numbers. He's seeking people. Each and every person, each soul is of infinite worth. Otto von Harnack didn't get much right, but this he got right: the infinite value of the human soul, the human person, each one, to Jesus. We can remind ourselves that in the Gospels, the stories of healings are always individual healings. Jesus touches one person, speaks a word to one person. He looks for the one lost sheep. He searches for the one lost coin. There's more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over the 99 who need no repentance. Over one repentant sinner, the angels in heaven sing and rejoice. And the music and dancing in the Father's house is over one lost son, an echo of the song of the angels. I hear the real, though far-off hymn that hails a new creation. Through all the tumult and the strife, I hear its music ringing. It sounds an echo in my soul. How can I keep from singing? Robert Lowry, fine hymn. Well, the Pharisees could keep from singing. They were too busy grumbling and posting tweets and blogs. What was it in their hearts that kept them from singing? It was their vision, their beautiful vision for Israel, an Israel that shared in the purity of the temple, a vision of a nation of behaviors rather than a nation of believers, a vision of a church of saints rather than the company of the faint-hearted, weak, and sick. They were fighting a cultural war that had to be won in the present, and Jesus was calling them to a kingdom for which they would have to wait in faith and hope. Their beautiful vision kept them from Jesus. It kept them from God. It kept them from their neighbor. Thus the Pharisee stands and prays to himself, God, I thank you that I'm not like other people, greedy, unjust, adulterers, or like this tax collector. And now they're faced with their come to Jesus moment. Jesus calls them back to the Shema, to love the Lord their God with all their heart, with all their soul, and with all their strength. He calls them to love their neighbor as themselves. He calls them to the same costly grace and repentance that the sinners were finding. And he calls them with one word, rejoice. Rejoice in what God is doing right before your very eyes. To come to the Father, to come to Jesus, to rejoice with Jesus and to sing with the angels, they had to abandon their beautiful vision, their false ideal of a purified people, a nation of behaviors, a perfect church, from which all who could not match the ideal had to be excluded. Jesus called them to leave their dreams, to open their eyes, and to see what God was doing right before their eyes. One time, quite a while ago actually, Janice and I had the opportunity to visit a worship service in Germany with Tante Ruth, Aunt Ruth, and Uncle Jakob. And it was Easter service, and there were a number of baptizants who were from Southeast Asia, baptized on Easter. And as we were leaving the worship service, Tante Ruth, this was in the late 90s, by the way, before the wave of Syrian refugees, but it still applies. Tante Ruth turned to me and she said, you know, I think I know why God is sending us all these immigrants. It's so that they hear the church bells and we can tell them about Jesus. Right on, Tante Ruth, right on. Jesus is calling the Pharisees out of the community of the closed circle into the community of the open arms, the community of Jesus' open arms, the open arms of the cross. And he calls us, he calls you and me as well. Jesus has finished his earthly mission, but the risen Lord has not yet completed his work. The Gospel of Luke is about what Jesus began to do and teach, Acts 1:1, in case you want to know. The book of Acts is about what Jesus continues to do and to teach here and now. Jesus is not done welcoming tax collectors and sinners. He welcomes them through you and me. That's our calling as Christians, every last Christian, and as churches. May God in his mercy save us from a church of saints. May he open our eyes to see the people around us, the people whom he places in our path as objects of his love in Jesus. May we see them as objects of Jesus' love and not as people to be avoided or people who are now targets of our evangelism. The hound of heaven is still tracking them down. The risen Lord is still the Jesus of the open arms. Come to him. Rejoice with him. Go with him. Amen.